This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. New Britain wants its former mayor to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars of allegedly misused funds. Prosecutors on Long Island are cracking down on serial shoplifters. Plus, Connecticut has invested more than $6 million into robotics programs for students. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart is accused of misusing hundreds of thousands of dollars of her city's funds. Now, the city wants her to pay it back. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Stewart dropped out of the governor's race when allegations surfaced that she'd used the city credit card for personal items like clothes and cosmetics. Then came the charges that she'd gotten the city to reimburse her for her grad school tuition and questions about a charity fund she ran. Now she's under city, state, and federal investigation. In the latest, attorneys for the city say Stewart got more than $100,000 in pension benefits that should have been capped at $15,000. They want her to pay it back. They also want her to pay back more than $30,000 for the grad school tuition and another $100,000 in legal fees. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Prosecutors on Long Island are cracking down on serial shoplifters. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports on a Suffolk County law enforcement operation that targets high-impact repeat offenders.
18 shoplifters have been arrested over the last 6 months for stealing from big-box stores in Suffolk County. Prosecutors say the alleged thieves are organized like a small business, who then sell the stolen goods on Facebook Marketplace. Ray Tierney is Suffolk County District Attorney.
What we're doing is law enforcement working with our prosecutors aggregates, that means adds together multiple thefts from the same stores or thefts on the same dates to elevate charges from a mere misdemeanor to a felony grand larceny.
He says the arrests and elevated charges are possible due to a partnership between law enforcement and at least 20 retailers like Home Depot, Walmart, and Macy's. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Governor Lamont has signed legislation consolidating Connecticut's hate crime laws into one. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont proposed the consolidation in an effort to strengthen the state's existing laws and make hate crime terminology more consistent to deal with an increase in incidents in the wake of the Middle East wars.
Hate crime is an attack upon you because of race, color, creed, sexual orientation, how you identify. It's an attack upon your community. And that means that not just you're at risk, but your entire community feels like they're at risk.
Lamont signed the law at a ceremony at a West Hartford synagogue, attended by people from different religious communities and LGBTQ rights groups. The new law is expected to increase the ability of police and prosecutors to charge hate crimes and seek enhanced penalties. Connecticut has had hate crime laws on the books since 1990. Ebon Udama, WSH News.
Connecticut wants to get more kids interested in engineering. A conversation on that is coming up. U.S. Senators Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut are calling for stronger federal oversight of prediction markets. In a letter to the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the pair raised concerns about insider trading and market manipulation by elected officials. A sports complex under construction in Kings Park will get a new addition, a bubble dome. The Smithtown Town Board approved the modification of the $92 million complex, along with a reduction in parking spaces. The planning board still has to sign off on the changes. Danbury's fuel cell energy company says it'll spend nearly $300 million to expand a facility in Torrington so it can meet the massive demand for energy from data centers. The company says the two-year expansion will let them increase their capacity from 350 to 500 megawatts. SUNY's chancellor says the State University of New York system remains strong despite federal actions targeting higher education. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports direct state support is up by almost $500 million over the last 4 years.
SUNY Chancellor John King says the system has seen the largest amount of support in decades under Governor Kathy Hochul, and that's enabling them to maintain their mission of, quote, affordable excellence and an in-state tuition freeze at the four-year campuses.
We had enrollment increases in every sector for the last 3 years. That's the first time we've had back-to-back-to-back enrollment increases in 15 years.
King says he's optimistic about higher education in the face of growing skepticism about its value and funding cuts at the federal level. He says those who earn college degrees still earn more in their lifetimes than those without.
So we're delivering that career value, but we're also delivering incredible economic value to the state.
King says the SUNY Reconnect program, which helps adult learners to go to community college for free, will expand to more high-demand fields and additional campuses next fall. SUNY also received a boost in money to upgrade facilities and is hoping for more funding to continue to do so in the future. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut has invested more than $6 million into statewide robotics programs for students since 2024. It's in an effort to get kids into engineering in hopes that they'll use their talent in the Connecticut workforce after graduation. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mayor's PR Lockhart, who's been reporting on this story. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Connecticut is known for advanced manufacturing, but the state is facing a skilled workforce shortage. That's prompted it to put money into student robotics programs. Is that why you decided to investigate this? And is it actually attracting students and keeping them involved in STEM?
Yeah, so, you know, I started looking at this for two reasons. First, as you mentioned, yes, the state is making these investments. Earlier this year, the Office of Manufacturing announced that it was going to invest $4.2 million into robotics programming across the state. When I got that press release, you know, that certainly interested me and made me want to write about it. But there's also a bit more of a personal reason why I looked at this story. I actually did robotics when I was in high school.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I had gone through one of these programs actually in Virginia, not in Connecticut. I have no affiliation with the Connecticut programming at all, obviously. But I had gone through one of the programs, and you know, when I saw that the state was investing here, it really made me think about my own experiences. And I was curious to see, you know, in the decade plus since I had been a part of this, what it looks like for students now, and if it was helping them, because the market's only gotten harder to enter for students trying to enter the workforce. And I believe you also asked, you know, is this helping?
Well, you visited a couple of competitions to yeah. check them out. What did you find?
The competitions are such rich ground. You go in and you're just immediately confronted with hundreds of students. You know, they're working on robots in their areas. They call them pits, kind of, you know, like racetracks. They have
so it's like a big sporting event.
Yeah, it's like a big sporting event. Honestly, it sometimes feels reductive to be like, this is just like sports, but it is a really similar environment at the competitions. So yeah, you know, you're seeing them in team gear. You know, they have equipment out, and it's really all student led. I think sometimes people hear robotics and they think that the coaches and the mentors are leading this because they like oftentimes work as engineers, but really no, the students are fully taking the lead. Like they're fixing motors, they're putting on batteries, they're doing wiring. Like it's really impressive that the things that you can see them just do over the course of a competition.
Now, our problem right now is that we have a workforce shortage. Mm-hmm. So is this helping? And how is it helping? How is the state money helping? Because you were talking about how expensive it is for students and the teams to participate.
Yeah. So I'll handle how the state is helping first, and then I'll handle, you know, how much this investment actually matters second. So for how the state is helping, you know, this investment is covering a lot of things. The state's looking into developing a curriculum program and working with schools on that. It's offering support for, you know, teachers and also some other programming it'll launch for students, I believe, in the future. So this money isn't just going to these competition robotics programs. That being said, the money that robotics is getting is really helpful because it's helping launch new teams. You know, one thing I note in my piece is that the state is really trying to get teams started in alliance districts.
Those are the school districts that are a bit behind, are lagging a bit behind, and the state is trying to boost them.
Yes, that's right. Alliance districts are, you know, school or districts where, you know, students, they'd be considered, you know, underserved. They don't necessarily have the same level of access and resources as other students in the state.
So mainly the big cities and the rural areas.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And there's about 36 districts in Connecticut, and they cover, you know, almost half of public school students in the state. So they really are trying to get as many students as possible exposed to these programs, and they're trying to make sure that money isn't a factor in like limiting that exposure. And you know, I think that kind of translates to the next part of the question, which is, you know, how does this actually matter? You know, I think it's helpful to think of a program like, you know, FIRST or RECF or even VEX, which is a different program that I don't talk about as much in the piece, but it's helpful to think of them as kind of the top of a funnel. So say, you know, at the top you have all your students, and at the bottom you have your STEM workforce. What you're doing at the top is just trying to get students like even enter and like even think about it and even have like access to like looking at some of these sorts of skills that you would need in math and science to even be able to do engineering at the end of the funnel. So these programs are really helpful for doing that first level of exposure. And I think the state certainly needs to be considering the other interventions it has to do later in that funnel. You know, I don't want to say this is a silver bullet. I don't want someone to walk away from my piece thinking that Connecticut's investment in these robotics programs means that it has now solved its workforce problem entirely. But I do think that these programs could maybe be a helpful first step. And at least as far as what parents and students and mentors are telling me, they really are experiencing these programs as being valuable and helping them figure out what they want to do with their lives.
Well, you're talking from someone who knows because you were part of a robotics program yourself.
Well, yes, but I'm also a journalist now. So I think some people would look at that and be like, well, you didn't even make it out of the funnel all the way. But that's why I also wrote the second half of that piece. You know, I try and acknowledge in the piece that, you know, certainly the marquee stuff of STEM skills matters and this helping with engineering matters. But what maybe matters more to the students, at least, is kind of just helping them feel like fully formed adults by the end of it.
Well, thank you so much, PR. Really appreciate you doing this story. Quite a bit of insight here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
PR Lockhart is the Connecticut Mirror's economic development reporter. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from PR about Connecticut's bet on youth robotics to create a new generation of STEM workers. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebong Udama.
Sometimes you hear something on WSHU that stays with you all day. A story that changes your perspective, a moment of reflection, a piece of music you didn't know you needed. That's why this station matters. News you trust, music you love. Listen on the radio, stream online with our free app, and of course, listen right here to the After All Things podcast. Thank you for being with me today. I'm Sabrina Garone. I'll speak to you tomorrow.